Now we turn to a man that is a standing joke everywhere, and his name is Jonah. The word Jonah means a dove, and incidentally, the word Jonah in Hebrew and dove are spelled and pronounced exactly alike. It sounds a little bit comical to us to think of a mother or a father or both naming their little boy a dove. That would seem odd to us, wouldn't it? Is there anybody else that you know of that was related to a Jonah? Simon Bar-Jonah, you ever hear of him? Peter's father's name was Jonah. Some authorities say John. Jonah, as far as I know, is the only man that was ever buried in a living tomb. It'd be funny to be in your grave and be your grave be wandering around over the ocean. For many generations, the so-called higher criticism, I call it lower criticism, made a great joke out of this. The Bible, though our version says a whale, it means a sea monster, a great fish. They say that whales couldn't do this, but there is a whale that could. He prophesied in the reign of Jeroboam, seemingly, and predicted certain prophecies. I'll turn to that and let you see when he was on the scene. Back in the 14th chapter of 2 Kings and the 25th verse. I think I touched on this in another lesson, but you can see at what time he appeared on the scene. You remember the Jews said, "Search and see, for no prophet ariseth out of Galilee." That's what they said to Nicodemus in John 7. Well, here was a prophet from Galilee. The 24th verse says of this king, "He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." I just read 2 Kings 14, 24. "He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord, rather the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher." Gath-Hepher, word means the winepress of the pit, or the winepress of shame. And it was in the northern part of Israel. That's where he came from. He prophesied seemingly during Jeroboam's time, and he was a Jew, he was bigoted, he was self-righteous. And there's a man in the New Testament, if you want to turn to Matthew 25, you can read it, that was given a talent, and he said, "Lord, I knew that you were a hard man." Since some of you are turning over there, I'll turn to it too. "I knew you were a hard man, taking up that you didn't lay down, and reaping where you haven't strawed." And he said, "I was afraid of you. I was afraid, and I took your talent and I hid it." Notice the 24th verse of Matthew 25. "I knew that thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid. I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." This fellow found fault because he was so hard. Now notice Jonah. In the 4th chapter, in the 2nd verse, he said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew thee, that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest of the evil." He was mad at God. He was kind of saying, excuse the expression, that God was a softy. And he was scared. "I'll go down there and tell them judgment is coming, and they'll repent. And you won't kill them, and then I'll be probably like a false prophet." Jonah tickles me. And even though he was disobedient, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it is so interesting that Jonah, Jesus singled him out to put his approval on him as a prophet. Let's go to Matthew 12 just a moment. The 41st verse says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Now notice the 16th chapter of Matthew, the 2nd of the 4th verse, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." And then there is a statement in Luke 11, I've forgotten what verse it is, maybe we can find it. It mentions Jonah. And it is, as I say, it's a striking thing that this prophecy that's been criticized for so long by so many was also approved by the Lord Jesus Christ. The 30th verse, notice this striking statement. "As Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also shall the Son of Man be to this generation. Now Jonah appeared in Nineveh, and he went a day's journey into the city, and he began to cry, yet 40 days and God will destroy this city. And it was a great city, militarily and otherwise. And no question, they stopped him. Who are you? Who told you to say this? Well, we won't allow this. Probably Jonah would say, now let me tell you my story. God gave me a message to bring to you, and I didn't want to come. I got on the ship, and they threw me overboard, and a fish swallowed me and then spit me out. He was a sign to the Ninevites that, well, he was a sign in a number of ways. Then you and we'd have probably killed him, but God kept him alive. And probably this gave hope to the Ninevites. So if somebody attacks Jonah, remember this, they're not attacking Jonah, they're attacking Christ and God who inspired the book. Jonah is the only prophet in the Bible that wanted to conceal his message as far as record is concerned. It is true that Jeremiah said, I won't preach in his name anymore. But Jonah had a message from God, and instead of going to deliver it, he went down to Tarshish and caught a ship, or went down to Joppa and caught a ship and headed out across the Mediterranean. Didn't want to preach the message that God gave him. Then, notice the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word Amittai means my faithfulness. Go to Nineveh, that great city. Nineveh means offspring of ease. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. You remember the Lord went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said to Abraham he was going down to see if it was as bad as the word had come to him. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. A little debate about Tarshish. There was a place in Spain that has almost this name, and they believe that that is where he was headed for. But notice what he was trying to do. He was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to think a moment. According to the chronological dates given at the heading of this Bible, this was 862 B.C. Doesn't it seem rather striking to you that there were passenger carrying ships where you could pay the fare and go from here or there that far back in history? Quite a thing, wasn't it? And it must have been quite a good-sized boat because he went down inside of it and he paid the fare. And he surely did pay. He paid and paid and paid. And he kept paying. And this is the way it goes. One time when the kingdom of Israel split, Jeroboam took the northern kingdom and Rehoboam took the southern kingdom, and he forsook the Lord and all Judah with him. And God sent Shishak, king of Egypt, against them, and he came up and conquered them, and they humbled themselves before the Lord. And the Lord said, all right, they've humbled themselves, and I'll deliver them. But in essence, he said this, I'm going to leave them under his hand so they'll know his service and mine. And there's quite a difference. You serve some man. You know what the word procurator? Pontius Pilate was the procurator of Judea. It means one who procures. And he was there to get everything for Rome that was gettable. And that's why the publicans were so deeply hated. They were tax collectors. Matthew was a tax collector, and so was Zacchaeus, the little man. And so they found out the difference in serving God and serving a man. Notice that he went down into the ship. No, he went down to Joppa first, and he went down into the ship, and the fifth verse says he was down into the sides of the ship, and in the second chapter in the sixth verse it says he said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. So he went down, 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 didn't he? The Lord gave him a job. He didn't want to perform it. You remember Adam? He ate of the forbidden fruit and went and hid among the trees. Doesn't that sound like a little boy, a little girl? I've known them to crawl under the bed. They were sure they couldn't be found. Their little minds think that way. And people think they can hide from the Lord. I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah 23:24, a verse of scripture that I find interesting. Notice the questions, or the question I should say. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not find, it shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? But notice the question. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord. I can hide some things from you, and you can hide some things from me. I can play the hypocrite. I saw a man one time pretend. I will always feel that he pretended, that he was so totally consumed with grief when a certain party died. He wanted to impress people, but I'll tell you this, he didn't impress me. I felt he was putting on a show, and I saw a man put on a show at a funeral one time when his son was killed. He was a drunkard and he didn't really seem to care, but oh, he tried to put on a show. Now you can deceive me, I can deceive you, but I'll tell you one thing, we can't deceive the Lord. I'm sure we don't want to, but there are lots of people who would like to deceive the Lord. Now I do not know how far they got under the ocean. The Lord let them get out away so that the waves would be fierce. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Right at the end of the war passed, when we were still fighting with the Japanese, there was a typhoon came out in the Atlantic. Do you remember it, Brother Eggers? It sank two of our destroyers. They said that the barometer fell lower than they had ever seen it fall, and just the storm did that much damage. And the Lord did this. The Lord holds everything, as it were, in the palm of his hands. May I turn you to the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah for just a moment and read just a verse or two here on the majesty of God. It's hard for the human mind to comprehend. The 12th verse asks the question, Isaiah 40, did I say 41? Isaiah 40 in the 12th verse. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? That's the span with the Jew, was from the little finger to the tip of the thumb. Meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Now notice this. Behold, the nations are counted as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Did you ever go to the store and you started to weigh something, and there were a few onion skins and what have you in the scales, and you just went and blew them all out? Then you weighed what you had. The small dust of the balance, that's what the nations amount to. Taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they're accounted to him less than nothing and vanity. Now, that dwells on the greatness of God. I believe it's in the 46th chapter, there's a statement that reads like this. Speaking of God again, he calls their attention to things that he had formerly told. The 9th verse, this is Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, now notice this, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will do it. I will also do it. Now you see, I can't speak that way. Now I have a car out there, and it's a pretty good car. It has gas in it. It will run. I can't even say with definiteness that I'm going home tonight. I intend to. And I could wax bold with the spirit of braggadocio and say, I'm going and nothing's going to stop me. Well, a little nail might stop me. I could have a flat tire and wreck. I could tell you many stories, but we have to do like James. If the Lord will, we'll do thus and so. But God can say, I've said it, and here's how great it is when he speaks. Now you think of this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. Tell you, it's a good thing to know something about the word of God. Everything you can, you'll take this into heaven with you. It's about all you will take. You won't take your clothes and your car nor your house nor your money. Have your family ready if you can, but you will take the things that you learn of the things of God. Well, he decided to get away from God, but it couldn't be done, and God sent the storm out. The mariners were afraid. They cried every man unto his own God, of course, his God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lengthen, to lighten it of them. Did you ever notice how one man's sin can bring so much grief and suffering on so many others? How often have I seen families? You may have read it in the paper. A young man gotten out of high school, given trouble in his home. This happened last month, I believe, over at Weston. He went home, told his mother he was in and he had done a serious crime. He needed some money, needed it bad, had to get away fast. Whether he threatened her or what, I do not know. She went to the room, and when she came out, instead of having money, she had a gun, and she killed him. The mother killed her own son. She has been arrested for manslaughter. Now, you see how his sin brought grief. There are lots of relatives there, and they're prominent people. His relatives are the publisher of the paper that's been there for many, many years. Old families there. How much grief it has caused. And now here they cast out the wares, their merchandise. They made their livelihood this way. And now because of Jonah's sin, they lose everything in that respect. Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He had probably been studying this proposition for some time, and he was tired, he was weary. If I can get to that ship, I'll get away, and that'll be the end of it. He was so tired, he just went to sleep. Now I'll call your attention to something else quickly. He went to Joppa. Did you ever read of a story anywhere about Joppa, anywhere else in the Bible? Somewhere. Pardon?
Book of Acts.
Yes. Peter was at Joppa, wasn't he? When Cornelius sent to him to come to Caesarea and tell him about the Lord. Peter was an apostle. He was in Joppa. Jonah was a prophet, and he went to Joppa. His conscience was sound asleep. The shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." They said every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. In Proverbs 16:33, it says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is of the Lord." It was the Lord that pointed Jonah out. I remember a preacher was doing some very dirty things. The Lord showed a couple of women what he was doing, and they told it. And, oh, he was hot. He lost his church over it. Well, might he. Anyway, I was talking to another preacher about it, and I said, "He really blames those women." The preacher said, "It was the Lord." Well, who told these men that it was Jonah that was causing all the trouble? It was God. He wanted them to know. Then they said, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? And what is thy country, and of what people art thou?" Now, he was put under... He was really investigated, interrogated. "What do you do for a living?" "Well, I'm a prophet." "Where do you come from?" "The land of Israel." "What is your country?" "What people?" He said, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Now each one had called on his God. They had a God of the sea and a God of the land, a God of the mountains, a God of the plains, and some countries even had gods of the doorknobs and gods of the doors. And yeah, the Hindus have 3 billion gods, according to the authorities, God of everything. The men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this? What did you do this for? What did you bring all of this on us for?" Doesn't it make you angry when somebody does something like this? I lived right over here on Wabash one time, and there was a fellow came through that I knew. He had a wife and 2 or 3 children with him. And they didn't have any place to spend the night, so we invited them in, and his little girls spent the night with my little girls, slept with them, I mean. And it was cold. And I didn't think a lot about it at the time, but I got up the next morning, and the woman washed her little girls' heads before they went down and caught the train in that cold weather. Just a few days, my little girls blossomed out with a beautiful case of head lice. That really did make me angry. If they hadn't known it, it would have been another story, but they knew it. Well, why did you do this, Jonah? Why did you look at this situation? I imagine all he could do was stand around with his head down. The men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." What an awful thing. to be aware that you brought all of this trouble on others, and telling them the truth. And the men rowed with all of their might to bring to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. It wasn't Jonah's fault that the Lord used him, but he was still using him, wasn't he? People couldn't help but see this must be a great God. Jonah is a type of his own people cast into the sea of the nations, and they've never been able to digest them. I was in Philadelphia some years ago, and there was a song being sung on the radio, and I remember one verse of it in part. The name of the song was, "You Can't Keep a Good Man Down." And the whale came up to this land and vomited Jonah out, and sadly turned away and began to sing, "You Can't Keep a Good Man Down." I don't think a whale can sing. Well, a whale can sing. Did you ever hear their voice? I received a record from the National Geographic one time of the whale's voices that have been taped, and they can communicate and send messages a long ways off. Animals have their own way of communicating. Now you say, how much? Very, very small. You know, when a dog growls, he means that's communication. And then he's a type of Jesus in his being 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Jonah was disobedient, but the Lord is going to use him as a type nevertheless. Now you'll find in history that many times God uses people, they'll get no reward for being so used. Jesus Christ, according to Acts 4, I think the 23rd verse, was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The Jews nailed him to the cross, carrying out a purpose of God that was older than creation. He was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, but it was no credit to him, to them, that they murdered him. God used them like he used Judas Iscariot. No, certainly no credit to him. So this was no credit to Jonah that the Lord used him at this point. Well, this is as far as we'll go tonight. About 3 minutes left. If you have